And here we go with our Friday afternoon stroll, and it's a very special show this Friday. Kay Hymas is with us to look back at last year's Reigate and Banstead Rights and look forward not just to this year's competition, but to everything that's now spinning off the competition at the centre. We are partners with Reigate and Banstead Rights, which is heading into an exciting new future in this year of 2020. But central to the entire enterprise is Kay Hymas. Kay, it's lovely to have you back here. Welcome to the stroll.
Thank you very much for having me, David. I'm delighted to be here this afternoon.
I'm delighted you're delighted. And shall we just think a little bit about your day job to start off with, if we may? How's life in the library at the Warwick School in Redhill?
Well, it's very busy, very exciting. It's a very well-used space. The students do like coming in. We've got a very up-to-date, well-stocked fiction section. They have English lessons in there. They use it in their social time. And I always say it's not a quiet. I think a lot of people have this outdated image of what a school library is like or a wider community library. I like to say it's a calm, reflective space where people can just pause for thought. The students can read. They can meet their friends. Sometimes they play board games. We have book groups going on. We do all sorts of things, really, which is just like what all the other school librarians in the area would say as well, I think.
I was going to say, you're very much in cahoots as a group, aren't you, school librarians locally?
Yes, we do work. They're really wonderful. I'm really lucky, particularly Katie Hill at St Bede's, who is my nearest neighbour, really. We talk a lot, we discuss ideas a lot. I mean, St Bede's is a much bigger school, obviously, and they've got a much bigger library, they've got a sixth form. And then there's Isabel at Reigate, she's fairly new in post. She was really enthusiastic in joining in with Reigate and Banstead Rights in 2019. And Laurel up at RAA as well, another huge supporter. So we work closely, we all have similar challenges and issues, but I will say it is one of the best jobs, I think, that anyone could do.
Isn't that lucky to be able to say that, Kay? So you've chosen first up Will.i.am and the Black-Eyed Peas. Tell us why and for whom.
It was mainly about the title, I've got a feeling, because it's going to be a good year for books and for literature, and it's for Katie Hill and the other school librarians that have supported me so immensely.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, that's what the school week is all about. Now, Kay, there was a reason, I believe, why you chose the Black Eyed Peas.
Yes, when I started Reigate and Banstead Rights back in 2017, Katie Hill from St Bede, who I've just mentioned, huge support, and she always used to say, I've got a feeling this is going to be really good, and it just naturally sprang to mind that that song should go to her and to the other school librarians as well.
I'm sure that the 2020 operation is indeed going to be a good day and a night and a week and all the rest of it. Kay Hymas from Reigate and Banstead Rights is my guest in the studio for the entire show. Kay, how are things at the Warwick School in general, without wishing to put you on the spot, of course?
They're good. It's a very exciting time for the school. There's a new, as I'm sure the local neighbours have seen, a huge new building project going on. So we'll be in a new school building in 2021. It's just basically building, the new sports hall's already up and running, and there's going to be provide lots of new classrooms. There's going to be a new library, which obviously is very exciting for me, new canteen. It will be really a modern facility for the 21st century, and everybody's very excited about it.
You'll presumably have a hand in being able to design that library from the bottom up.
Well, yes, this is what's quite exciting, is being part of a new library and a new building, and how different things you can see happening, but essentially staying the same as well, the same atmosphere that I've just referred to.
I know last time you were in, we had the conversation about e-books and tablets versus real books bound in a bookcase.
That's right, we did.
How's that panning out at the moment?
Well, funnily enough, I think there is a huge return now to traditional books. I think, as I said last time, a year ago, more or less, people like the physical feel of a book in their hand. And I don't know if you saw the news report yesterday about the bookshop in Petersfield.
Yes, I did.
I just thought that was wonderful. He just tweeted, hadn't he, saying there was no customers. It was taken up by Neil Gaiman and retweeted, and then they were inundated with orders. And that sort of sector, the independent book sector, is starting to revive and come back to life.
Unlike your good self, I've been around long enough now to know that what goes around comes around, and it certainly does. They say in the music business, don't they, the old songs are the best. Well, I think a lot of old... I always come back to the fact that our wonderful local Thameslink service through London to Cambridge and Peterborough and heaven knows where all else is using Victorian railway tunnels that were built 150 years ago and lay derelict for 100 years. It what goes around comes around, I think, without any doubt at all. Yeah. Now, I know that we're not going to have time to play the piece of music you've chosen for everybody at the Warwick until after Levi and Jarvis, because Pussycats are important, even with a human guest on the show. But tell us just a little bit about why you've chosen something from The Greatest Showman for people at the Warwick.
Well, actually, it was chosen by the head teacher, Kerry Oakley, as a song to represent the school. And I guess she's thinking it's what the school's about, striving for excellence, driving forward, providing opportunities for all our students. And I think she thought it was just really appropriate as a song for everybody who works there.
That may have something to do with the fact that I suspect a lot of teachers think of themselves as great show people.
Possibly.
Well, yeah. I always felt, you know, it was like 7 45-minute performances a day. There's very little between it and going on stage, quite honestly. Let's just leave it there for a moment. This is me from The Greatest Showman. Kay, brand new head at the Warwick.
Well, she's in her second year now, but yes, Kerry's taken over and she's moving the school in a good direction.
Quite sizeable shoes to follow, of course.
Well, yes, I think it's always, for anybody taking over a new job in any role, you're always following somebody, I guess, aren't you? But, yeah, there's a strong vision. It's a good place to be at the moment.
So striving for excellence. I'm all for that, I must say. So let's start cutting to the chase now, because we are really here to talk about Reigate and Banstead Rights and what's sprung out of it. Would you care to look back for a moment for me to last year's competition?
Oh, I would love to. There's nothing better for me than talking about the stories and the young writers. As you know, David, you were a huge supporter of us last year. I can't believe I'm saying that, 2019, last year. We had 487 entries in the end, and you read out the top three, which was, and they were quite varied, weren't they? We had Orla McAnally from Reigate Priory Junior School, and that was quite a ghostly tale set around her school and in Priory Park, which really impressed the judges, and she was actually one of the youngest entrants as well to be placed. And then Jennifer from St Bede's with her super dog becoming mayor. I was just having a long chat with Rod Ashford, who's one of our judges, about that, funnily enough, because she made wonderful use of Earlswood in her story. Superdog lived in Earlswood, she used lots of local streets. And on his journey to becoming the eventual mayor of Reigate and Banstead, no jokes about possibly doing a better job than any human could do. And the eventual winner was Katie, and her historical mystery set in Reigate Castle. So the settings all quite varied, but they really showed off the borough. And another thing Rod Ashford said to me today was, as a judge, when he picks up a story and it starts off set in the Belfry Centre or set in Priory Park and a familiar setting, it just made him feel really excited and as part of the community. And I think one huge thing that the story writing competition does, unlike when they're asked to write a story in school, they can write about anything as long as it is set around here. So their imaginations are not constrained in any way. And another thing that Jane McGowan would always say, which possibly is going to annoy and irritate English teachers everywhere, she's not bothered about the punctuation. She's looking at the story, she's looking at the creativity, she's looking that it has a beginning, a middle and an end. And so when they're being marked and they've got an exclamation mark in the wrong way, or as Jane says, sometimes like about 20 exclamation marks to make a point, they don't care, they just want to see the story. So
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I think from the reader's point of view, because as you say, we recorded the top three, having done the top two the year before. The one thing I would say as a reader is that punctuation is an invaluable aid to those who are actually reading aloud as from a script.
It is.
Because you have to mark your pauses to do that successfully. And to me, one of the hallmarks of the quality of the writing in all five stories that we've done here so far is that they were very, very easily adapted for the microphone. Very little, next to no rewriting required for spoken fluency, and the ease with which those transferred to a script for a spoken voice seems to me to have spoken volumes, to drop a cliche, for the quality of the writing in the first place. So they were really absolutely excellent. And obviously I'm on air when the awards ceremony takes place, and we'll talk in the second hour about the programme for this this coming year. But the awards all went off very well, did they?
They did. They were held at the Warwick School last June. Julian Ellicott, who was on the local councillor at the time, he stepped down now, but he was a huge support to me, and he came and handed some prizes out. We had special guests and we all had a lovely afternoon, and I think a huge part for the young writers as well. It wasn't just about getting their prizes, which thanks again to Andy and the team at the Belfry for all their support with that, but it was actually hearing their stories read aloud on radio. I think that's really exciting for them, and it's something that will stay with them.
I think you said that in the first year, Grace kept her entire class behind to listen to the radio broadcast.
Yes,
is that right?
That's right, yes. Grace, and of course back in 2017, I can't believe it's that long ago, but Grace wrote that wonderful story set Mercer's Lake,
yes,
just up the road.
Yes.
About the monster of Mercer's Lake, and it was so well crafted for such a young girl. I'm sure we'll all be reading books by Grace.
Well, yeah. And Ben's parody of The Lord of the Rings,
yes,
worked very, very well. I suspect that if you asked Ben, he'd have said, well, actually, I could have done with 10,000 words rather than 1,000 to do this one justice.
Yes.
Because <it's, they? laughs> the original is a very, very, very long tale, isn't it?
It is, Lord of the Rings.
It lent itself well, again, to the spoken word, and that idea of a journey really worked. So just run through for us, Kay, if you will, what the simplest rules of the competition were and still are.
Yes, it is a very simple format, which again I think is appealing, particularly to young people. The story has to, as I've mentioned and I keep banging on, it has to be very clearly set in our local area and use our local landmarks. And the stories that have been successful, they're not only, you know, captivating, as you've mentioned, David, humorous and funny or scary. They're well written, but they do use the local area to full effect. So Katie's story set in Reigate Castle kept referring back. She also made use of the caves, Reigate Caves. Grace's story as well, the Mercer's Lake. It didn't just feature Mercer's Lake. She referred to local streets in Mercedom. As you say, it was a journey story. It's funny how many stories do seem to revolve around a journey, isn't it?
I always felt that right up to the age when they leave school, children do love to be read a story, even when
yes,
they're teenagers. And I think that there is something of the journey probably embedded in them when they're very young, and they first
yes,
go from A to B to Y to Z at bedtime. And effectively, the 1,000 words and the local venue are the only real strictures.
Yes, and obviously, original, it has to be an original story, and it can be of any genre, magical, historical, humorous. But yes, and it has to have a clear beginning, a middle and an end.
Isn't that absolutely essential for any piece of written
yes,
work that any child in any school has ever had to do?
Yes, but it is amazing. I think it's hard when you ask to have a limit, perhaps, and we had some really good stories that you, it's funny how you said what Ben could have done with 10,000 words, but they just cut off It was like, oh, they didn't really know how to finish them.
Well, of course, this radio show has to have a beginning, a middle and an end as well. And that's sometimes more achievable than at others. So those same rules apply for the 2020 competition. And I've got time to ask you about whether you're putting out a package to schools again this year.
Yes, we're in the process of sending that out, and this year there will be a PowerPoint as well, which one of our judges has put together. It's just to give teachers and librarians in school, and obviously parents as well, they can use it at home, an idea of perhaps story starters. You know, what do we mean by setting the story in the local area? It's sort of, to us, sometimes I think it seems obvious, but when you look at the stories, like I referred to Jennifer's, set in Earlswood, where she used local street names to highlight his journey from Earlswood to becoming mayor of Banstead, making sure that the castle is used to full effect. Also, we had a lot of stories. You may remember in 2017 particularly, I don't know if there was a film out at the time, but we had a lot of stories set on Reigate Hill in the Second World War with the bombing planes flying in and out. But just how that can be continued rather than just sort of dropping in a reference to make it, you know, like we had lots of stories about unicorns last year, but they weren't really lovely stories, well written, but they weren't specific enough to Reigate and Banstead to actually go through to that top 30.
Okay, I'll be back to you after the top of the hour. We're riding our way through the ins and outs of Reigate and Banstead Rights on this very special Friday afternoon stroll. My guest from Reigate and Banstead Rights, and indeed from the RH Fringe, which is now springing out of the original school competition, is Kay Hymas, and Kay's going to spend another hour with us up until 4 o'clock, and we're going to be taking a further look at the competition up and coming for this brand new year of 2020. And then we are going to do two things. We're going to look at some of the events on the fringe of that middle week in June, and we've got some songs to dedicate to various people who are heavily involved with the whole enterprise. Okay, welcome back to the second hour of the show.
Thank you, David.
It's lovely to have you here and to have time at leisure to chat through a lot of what's going on. And we've done the general rules, and we've spoken about your advice pack that's going out to the schools. Can you tell us now about the time frame for this year's competition and exactly who's eligible to enter?
Yes, that's one thing I've just realised we didn't cover, did we? I could chat forever about Reigate and Banstead Rights, and then I forget the key information. It opens the competition on the 1st of February, which is a couple of weeks away, and it's also a Saturday, which we didn't realise at the time, and it closes on the 31st of March. It's open to school children in years 4 to 8, roughly, so sort of age 10 to 14. The entry forms, there's an online link which the schools will be getting, as well as sort of hard copies of the entry form and the rules to attach to the story. What a lot of schools do, David, I should mention, and I was discussing this with Katie earlier, is they collate a lot of the stories in school. So there is a named member of staff, often the librarian, sometimes an English teacher. In primary schools, it's often a class teacher, and they will bundle all the stories up and actually hand them to me at the Warwick School, or they can be emailed. Last year as well, I think you remember the local libraries and the bookstores had the copies of the entry forms and the posters up, and that will be the same this year as well. So there is lots of ways to get involved.
What about the website itself? Because you've expanded that to be more than just a website for the competition, haven't you?
Yes, because the competition's obviously only open for a couple of months each year, and we had to look at a way of making people want to read it regularly. And also, the whole ethos of Reigate and Banstead Rights was supporting young writers and giving them a voice, really. So it's become a little bit of a local review site, cultural events, and we have had some young writers who are slightly older than those eligible for the competition who have written some reviews of local theatre events. Well, you can see on the website, we've just reviewed Anne of Green Gables that the Chipstead Players are doing at the moment, which was absolutely brilliant, David. So if there is teenagers, we usually say perhaps sort of over 16, and they want to do a review if they've been to see a play or a book they've enjoyed reading, or a gig, please get in touch with me and we can put those reviews up on the website for you. And also it gives one of our talented reviewers, Hannah Roberts, has reviewed some gigs. She's just graduated with an English degree. It gives those local bands a bit of a platform as well.
That's excellent to have a musical element to it. Now, just remind us how they might get in touch with you and also of the web address.
OK, the website is quite simple, but it's a bit of a mouthful. It's www.reigateandbanstead, all one word, rights.com.
That's not as long as all that, really, so long as you remember that it's Reigate and Banstead Rights, all one word, .com.
Yes.
And that's their means of getting in touch with you as the spider at the centre of the web, yeah?
It is the best way. There is a tab on there which has got all the rules about the competition. So when you go to the homepage, you'll see RB Rights 2020.
Yep.
So you can click on that. It's got information about what we're going to talk about in a minute, about the community fringe we're putting together. And it's also got the reviews. So I have had people, some kids who have got in touch saying, can we send you some reviews? And there's also what we're looking for and rules and about how we protect their data, all the usual.
I suppose it's worth adding that if anybody ever wants to get in touch with me, that's david.jay, spelt J-A-Y, at susieradio.com. I can always point them to a man, or in this case, a woman who can.
Yes, do. And also that has happened. People have directed people to me as well. So it's all, as you say, it's community, isn't it?
And tell me just a little bit about the scope for reviewers. Are we saying that these reviewers should be sixth form students or members of the sixth form colleges, or is this open to anybody from the general public?
No, we discuss this a lot with, my supporters, my judges, people who've supported me along the way. Generally, I would say, yes, we are looking to support young writers, but I have had some slightly older people, I don't want to be too rude, but who have got in touch and have asked. And again, if you're a new writer, it doesn't really matter what age you are, does it? So it's just writers from the local area. If you've got want to do a review and you've got something to say, get in touch.
Right. It's going to be a slightly unusual tea break in that our theme, as you're well aware by now, has been spread through the entire show. We've been talking about the, the Reigate and Banstead Rights back catalogue.
We have indeed, and reminiscing about some of the lovely stories we've received over the years.
And we've managed to include a bit about Kay's proper job. We want to try and look ahead a little bit now. And out of the strength of Reigate and Banstead Rights is gradually emerging the RH fringe. And I'm not going to attempt to interrogate you about that, but I'll ask you to hold forth as to how the initial stirrings happened and the stage that they've reached.
Like with a lot of things in life, it was a simple conversation. I got the awards ceremony for Reigate Rights over in June, flopped back into my chair, and I had a call from Dwayne Kirkland, who works for Reigate and Banstead Council, about the competition and how well it had gone and how we should really make it an annual event. Okay, I said sure. And then that's how we're having the this year's 2020 ceremony at the Harlequin. So just hold that thought, because there's a guy called Tim Glynn-Jones who does wonderful new music nights in Reigate, has done for about 6 years at the Reigate Priory Cricket Club, actually, at the moment. And he really promotes young musicians and gives them a platform to play. And that culminates in a festival he's organised that takes place in June each year. He's doing that with his new musicians. I've got my writing going on, trying to promote young writers. And it was one of those where we all sort of talked and thought, why don't we do something under an umbrella? Because there's lots of things happening in June that are cultural and about celebrating creativity and the arts. Mentioned it to Dwayne. We had a get-together, and a couple of my judges, Jante, who's been amazing at the logistics and planning. And we thought, right, let's go for it. Let's put the table. It's an umbrella, as I've said, because a few of the events are existing. But we have, on the back of that, some new events going on. places like the Garibaldi Community Pub. They're going to have a couple of events. I'm not going to say too much just yet, David, because we're still sort of dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Madeline Riley, who's the events manager at South sort of pods of libraries, so Redhill, Reigate, Hawley, Banstead, amazing. And there's lots of different events going on in the libraries, including quite varied. We've got crime talks, we've got a podcast, and we've also got a Jane Austen expert talking and doing an embroidery session, as well as some young adult authors coming in to inspire the children. So she's been great. The Muslim Community Hub, Pascal, who is events manager there, is organising a murder mystery night. We've got, hopefully, Donata's School are interested in hosting. So we've got sort of, at the minute, we've got venues and we've got artists, for want of a better word, and we're just kind of slotting them in where it best fits. And then, obviously, some events will be free. There may be a small cost charge for other events.
Great oaks from little acorns grow, and this sounds like a pretty sturdy sapling already.
Yes.
And lots of different things envisaged, and different venues, which I think is the absolute essence of a proper festival, isn't it? That you're not just centred on one venue. It's spread through the community.
No, and as I say, there is one. It is envisaged, it's a little bit like why we called it a fringe, in that people are organising their own things and coming under the banner. Helen West from the council, I should mention, because her drama that she puts on in Reigate Castle grounds will now, there's a performance taking place that week, that's coming under the umbrella. And we've been really lucky, David, because Redhill Andrews, estate agents, really supportive. Stephanie's just brilliant, she's come forward with some sponsorship money. Because obviously, unfortunately, much as we want to get by on a wing and a prayer, we can't always. And the council as well, from their small grants to help with the publicity costs, etc.
Well, perhaps it's time now for us to start looking at the three other tracks that you've chosen. And do please tell us why you've picked Local Connections again, The Cure and Friday I'm in Love.
Okay, well, this is for the aforementioned, it's for Stephanie and her team at Andrews Estate Agents. It's Friday I'm in Love by The Cure. As you know, The Cure have got strong Crawley links, so it's that local link. They're supporting a local venture. And actually, I do quite like The Cure as well. They're one of my favourite bands. And I think Friday I'm in Love is just one of those, like, great tracks for a Friday, end of the working week.
So were you bopping about to The Cure when you were a little bit younger than we all are now?
I was bopping away to them last summer, David, in Hyde Park. They were brilliant. I loved them. But yes, one of my favourite teenage bands.
There is nothing like eternal youth.
No.
Now, speaking about eternal youth, let's move on to your young band and your launch event.
Yes, Ian Orrick at the Harlequin, absolute superstar. He's hosting, he's putting on the Harlequin Theatre, Apollo Junction, who are a very up-and-coming band. People that I've played them to down here, really impressed. They're very kind of Britpop new wave. Later on in the summer, they're supporting Madness, the Libertines and the Kaiser Chiefs. And they're going to be supported by Helve, who are a band with a very strong Redhill link. Their bassist is an ex-student of St Bede's, and they met the Brit School. And this is a sort of, the whole point of the Fringe, it's not a not-for-profit, I should have said this earlier. It's to try and, you know, show off the talent around our area, give people a good time, but it's also to raise some money for charities, which are the Surrey Young Carers and Love Works, two local charities. And I know from my work at the Warwick, the Surrey Young Carers do just such wonderful stuff, and as anything, there's always a need for more money.
So the band is called Apollo Junction,
Apollo
and the track's
Junction,
called
In Your Arms.
Okay, there's a footballing national media story to go with that track from Apollo Junction.
There is. There might be some people who are thinking that's really familiar, like my husband would have been for one, because it is actually being used on Match of the Day over their goal montage this season. And actually, David, at the recent darts as well, it featured.
Very quickly, tell me who it's for.
It's for Ian Orrick, who I'm working with very closely. He's the programme manager at the Harlequin, huge support. We've come up with lots of good ideas, and he's just great. So it's for Ian.
And the Belfry are supporters of yours as well.
The Belfry, yeah. Andy Nash, as you know, because we've talked about him many a time, huge. Without Andy, actually, I don't think the story competition would have really taken off.
So let's do that for Andy as well, eh? And you two are next. Now, who's Redhill Mining Town for?
This is for Councillor Michalowski, who huge support about the fringe and getting it going. Dwayne Kirkland from the council and the small grants community team as well.
Redhill Mining Town. You're with Susie, 103.4. Kay is here on this very unusual afternoon stroll. That's Kay Hymas from Reigate and Banstead Rights. And Kay, I know before we do anything else, I know you wanted to remind us of a couple of dates and when the programme for The Fringe will be available.
Yes, that's right. Well, the first event has tickets already on sale, as we discussed Apollo Junction and their support band Health at the Harlequin, 30th of May. Tickets are available from the Harlequin box office now for that. And the main Fringe Week itself, don't think I made it clear, it's between the 13th to the 20th of June. So the events that we have got confirmed are all taking place within that week. And as I've mentioned, it's a charity fundraiser as well. It's not for profit. So money we do raise is going to support those charities I mentioned earlier.
And just tell us again what the charities are, because we can't mention them too often.
No, we can't. It's the Surrey Young Carers and Love Works.
It's wonderful how people are prepared to do so much for those less fortunate than themselves. Tell me about Apollo Junction and that concert.
I've been to see them quite a few times. They're actually playing tomorrow on the Monarch in Camden, so hopefully another local friend's going to come up and see them. They're very really personable, very approachable, very nice set of guys.
Where are they based?
They're based out of Leeds, which is my home county, so I'm an interloper into Surrey. I'm from North Yorkshire originally. As I say, they're on the cusp of I think becoming quite big. I've mentioned who they're supporting later in the summer, and it's a really good opportunity for music lovers to see an up-and-coming band without having to go to London, having to go to Brighton.
I suppose the difficulty now with achieving, I don't like the word fame, but achieving some sort of renown within the music world is that thanks to the internet, professional standard recording equipment is available to absolutely anybody at the click of a couple of mouses. And in those terms, it's very, very difficult for anybody really to get their heads above the parapet in the way that the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and the Who and the Beach Boys and so on did when I was a kid all those years ago. And one thing that strikes me is that there is just so much brilliant music being made almost at random.
Yes.
And, you know, it either comes our way or it doesn't. Anyway, it's good to have Apollo Junction on board, and that's...
And Helve as well, who are supporting them, are a very talented bunch of boys. They played at the New Music Festival as well last summer, and I think people will really enjoy them.
Is there anything on your list that you desperately want to top up that we haven't covered so far?
No, I would just encourage parents to urge them to encourage their children, to try and enter Reigate and Banstead Rights. I think it's really important to fire up children's imaginations and give them a platform for that as well. And just to recap, as we've said with the website, because the competition's only for a sort of short period in the year, if you are a slightly older, 16 plus, and you want to review and you go to a lot of local theatres, do get in touch with me. We'd love to have you on board.
If you had the opportunity to write a story yourself, where would you set it locally and why?
Oh, David, that's a question. So if I was entering the competition, I think I would find it really hard narrowing it down, because on one hand, I'd want to think like do a spy story set in Redhill and possibly using the library as a base. But then again, I think Reigate Hill could be, you could do all sorts in Reigate Hill. You could have a historical sort of setting that I might have a time slip where I go back in time. And and end up in Reigate as it was, because there's been a settlement here for so long? Or would I go around the boats on Ellsworth Lakes and have something there, find some treasure? I don't know, David. I'd find it really hard, actually, because there's so much scope, isn't there?
I've been around so long that I think I might go back to those 1970s and do something historical.
Would you?
Yeah, I think I might, but I'm not really sure
about
that.
And where would you
set
your story, do you think?
Well, probably here on the Merstham estate, years ago, long disappeared underneath the junction of the M23 and the M25. There was a tiny hamlet called Warwick Wold, with a little pub in the middle of nowhere called the Warwick Arms. And I did spin a few scripts and stories around old friends and myself when we were younger, changed names. Kay, it's been absolutely lovely. It's flown by. I think you think you've covered everything you wanted to.
I think so. I hope so. And apologies to anybody or anything I've missed off. But no, thank you for having me, David. It's flown by, much to my surprise.
Well, it's been a pleasure to do it on an extended basis. And I think it's one of the most important local initiatives at the moment. And we are very, very glad to support it. Let me just ask you, are you going to allow me to find a colleague and record a couple of the winning stories for broadcast again?
Yes, please. That would be absolutely super if you could do that. I know last year that was just so such a part of the winning package for the writers to have their stories read out, and really appreciate it. Thank you.
Kay Hymus from Reigate and Banstead writes, it's been a delight.
Thank you.